Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, my true crime darling angels, to Web Sleuth Radio, where tonight we welcome back our old friend Levi Page. Now, Levi is the Encyclopedia Brown of knowledge when it comes to Kyron's case, Kyron Horman's case, or anybody's case for that matter. Now, there is a little uptick of activity, according to radio station or TV station KGW, uptick in activity surrounding Kyron Horman's case. Now, here's kind of what we know so far. Terry Horman, Kyron's stepmom, she claims to have dropped Kyron off at school and says she was the last to see him walking down the hallway June 4th, 2010 in Oregon. She's still the main suspect in this case. Now we hear there's a grand jury that's been meeting on Kyron's case. We're going to talk about that with Levi Page. We're going to talk about the fact that Terry Horman has also apparently tried to hire somebody to murder somebody. Yes, she's a delightful, just a treat of a human being. Anybody you would like to see your son bring home, Terry Horman. What a nightmare. Levi Page, thank you for joining us tonight. I really appreciate it.
Hi, Tricia. Thanks so much for having me. Always a pleasure.
Okay, I think it's been long enough that we need to kind of recap the details of Kyron's disappearance because it's so frustrating. We know she's lying, his stepmom. Kyron's father divorced her. We know she's lying, but let's take it from the very beginning, from that day, June 4th, 2010, Terry Horman taking Kyron to school. And before we get to the actual events of the day, wasn't there a fight between Terry and her husband about her older son? And that
he
wanted to kick the... Let's talk about that first, because I think that's what brought all of this on. What do we know about that argument before or on the morning of June 4th, 2010?
I think it had been an ongoing argument. Apparently, Terry Horman's son was 16 years old, and he had been very unruly, and Kane Horman did not want him around his other children. And Terry Horman and Kane Horman had had an ongoing series of disagreements regarding that son. That's all we know about that. And we do know that they've had a very volatile relationship, Terry Horman, Kyron's stepmother, and Kane Horman, Kyron's father, because apparently Kane Horman said that Terry Horman would discipline Kyron, and he called her way of disciplining Kyron extreme.
Oh, dear.
Desiree Young, which is Kyron's biological mother, the ex-wife of Kane, said that she learned that Terry Horman expressed disgust about Kyron and that she did not like Kyron, that she had a hatred of Kyron. And that is extremely disturbing because Terry Horman is the last person to see Kyron alive in June of 2010 when he went missing.
And so the kind of theory that's been floating out there for years is Kane wanted to get rid of her son, kick him out. She was going to hurt him by getting rid of his son, Kyron. Yeah, this is a like I said, a jewel of a human being. Okay, Levi Page, take us through that morning of June 4th, 2010. Terry is taking Kyron to school. Everything is normal. What happens?
Apparently, they were having a science fair where the kids were presenting their science projects. They were on display, and parents and students and teachers were going around and looking at all of them. And that is what happened that morning that Kyron went missing. He never went to class. He never got to class. But we do know that Terry Horman did take a picture of him in front of his science project. He did his science project on tree frogs. And that is a picture that everybody that has followed this case has seen plastered all over their television screens. And that is a picture of this cute 8-year-old boy with glasses on, freckles, in with his science project. And it's heartbreaking to think that someone like Terry could have a hatred of such an innocent little kid who is just so cute when you see the pictures of him, and it's mind-blowing to think that an adult would mistreat a child, dislike a child like that, abuse him, like it's been alleged in this case, and he went missing. He was not on his school bus. Desiree Young got a telephone call from the school after that incident saying, you're on the emergency contact list, your son is missing. And then there was a nationwide search that went on. This case got national attention, and Terry Horman was thrust into the spotlight as a person of interest in this case because she was the last person to see Kyren alive. And we know that she took 3 polygraphs exams. She failed 2. During the third one, she got angry and left in the middle of the examination. We know that 6 miles away from where Kyren school was, Skyline School, Skyview or Skyline, I forgot the name, but there was an island called Suave Island, and Terry Horman had apparently told police that she was somewhere else. We don't know that specific location, but she was really at Suave Island, which is a large island 6 miles away from where Kyren went to school, and we know that because her cell phone pinged there right after she, according to her, dropped him off at school. And the theory is that she took him to school, took a picture of him at his science project, standing right next to it, and then something happened to Kyren at her hands, and she did that to create an alibi for herself. See, he went to school. Something happened after I dropped him off. I'm not responsible. But we have her lie to the police, saying that she was at one location when her cell phone pinged at Suave Island.
Exactly. And let's remember, everybody, this is 2010. We really didn't know much about, quote, pinging. We didn't know that you have to take the battery out of your cell phone if you don't want it to ping. Nobody knew that. And so if Terry, to me, if she was telling the truth, she would have said, you know, yeah, I went and drove up on the island. Why didn't she want them to know that she was at that island? Now, let's say
that this island has been searched. That's the million-dollar question in this case.
Right.
What was she doing on that island that she didn't want law enforcement to know about? That's why people are saying that she knows more than what she's saying, that she's responsible for what happened to Kyren. And just to get into the volatile relationship between Terry and Kyren's father, Kane, it's not just a fight over Terry's teenage unruly son. They had a volatile relationship over how she treated Kyren. And Kane Horman had also said that Terry Horman was an alcoholic, that she drank a lot, that she would pass out on the couch, that she would wake up at all hours of the night, and that she would act crazy. This is not someone that he wanted around his children. And we do know that after Kyren went missing, that Kane Horman, Kyren's father, filed for divorce. He also wanted a restraining order from Terry Horman, and a judge, this is huge, a family court judge has only took away her custody and gave Kane full custody, and Terry Horman is only allowed to see her children under supervised visitation. That means that a judge does not trust Terry Horman around her own children, that she poses a risk to them, that she could harm them if she is around them. And that's extremely damning because it's very rare that a father gets sole custody. It's very rare that judges take these extreme measures to protect children from their parents. So something major has to go on. It's more than just a drinking problem. Something else had to have gone on, and I think that this judge was presented with evidence of how she might have possibly been abusive to these children. And we don't know the exact details. Family court proceedings, especially involving children, are under seal. They're not released to the public. And it's extremely disturbing when you peel back the layers. And what's also disturbing is we learned that when Kyren vanished, that Terry Horman was having an ongoing affair with Kane Horman's friend. that he had known for a very long time, and that she was sending him nude pictures of herself to his cell phone. She was sexting, and that doesn't prove guilt. People have affairs all the time. People are into sexting. But the fact that she was doing this right after Kyren was reported missing, you can't even take a break from sexting while your stepson is missing. That speaks to the callous nature of Terry Horman, how she didn't like Kyren, and she had no reason to put her life on pause while he's missing. She was just going to continue doing what she always does. And not only did she have an affair, did she possibly mistreat these children, a judge thought that she did, and she's only allowed supervised visitation with them, but there was a landscaper that went to law enforcement and said, Terry Horman wanted to hire me to kill her husband, Kane.
Has that gone to court yet, or what is the status of that?
She was never charged. She was never charged.
Okay.
The law enforcement there in Oregon put a wire on that landscaper, and that landscaper tried to get a confession out of her, and it never existed. So there was not enough evidence to take it to court. It would just be Terry Horman's word versus this landscaper's word. But what makes it true is, and this was just unearthed in the local media, that Terry Horman had in 1990 allegedly hired someone to take out a person that she was dating in the 90s. This boyfriend of hers says that they went out on a park, I think. They were out on a park. They were sitting at a bench, and somebody ran at him with a gun. And Terry Horman said right before he ran away, he's coming for you. And then there was an inmate that was in prison that confessed all of this and said that Terry Horman had hired him to do this.
Jeez.
And that was in the '90s.
Mm-hmm. Has anything come of that? Has there been an arrest, a trial, or is it just too long ago?
There was no arrest, and there was no trial at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, and obviously,
they just let that one go.
Yeah, and that was in 1990. But that shows a pattern. I mean, I don't think that this landscaper would know. I think he was actually an illegal immigrant. I'm not sure. This landscaper would know about something that happened in 1990 regarding Terry Horman. So that shows a pattern of behavior with Terry Horman.
Mm-hmm. It does, and like I said earlier, what a treat of a human being she is apparently turning out to be. Let's backtrack a little bit, Levi. We're talking with Levi Page about Kyren Horman's case. He's been missing since 2010, and according to media sources, there has been, quote, an uptick in activity surrounding his case. There was a friend that Terry had, and I don't know if they're still friends or what the deal is, but if I remember correctly, the day that Kyren went missing, she called this friend, and witnesses say that this friend just kind of dropped everything and ran out, and apparently they met up. Am I remembering properly here, Levi? There's this woman that was very close to Terry. In fact, there were these, you know, rumors floating around just how close. Do you remember the person I'm talking about?
Yes, her name is Dee Dee Spicer.
That's it. And what's her story? What is her part in this?
Well, apparently, during the time after Kyren Horman was dropped off at school, according to Terry, she was working, but nobody could reach her during this time. She, like, mysteriously went missing. Nobody knew where she was. And a lot of people, this was Terry Horman's best friend, and a lot of people had looked at her as possibly being an accomplice. Again, that's alleged. There's no concrete proof. She's not been charged. She's innocent until proven guilty, along with Terry Horman. And a lot of people have looked at her as an accomplice. We know that she did lawyer up. We do know that the grand jury investigation that is going on as we are speaking, that this is not the first grand jury investigation into Kyren's disappearance. We do know that they've investigated and they've looked into D.D. Spicer. So It's interesting to see if D.D. Spicer is willing to talk now. You know, as time goes on, people are not as close as they once were. So maybe She and Terry are not close anymore. She doesn't have the same loyalty to Terry. Maybe she'll talk. Maybe she has more information. Maybe she doesn't. But D.D. Spicer, Terry's friend, is someone that people have always been a little suspicious of.
Yes, and she's given us kind of a reason to feel suspicious. Levi, what do you take of this word uptick? It means to me that things are starting to heat up in Kyren's investigation. I'm assuming that has to do with the grand jury. Your thoughts, what do you think is going on?
You know, I think that Terry Horman has been arrested for some misdemeanor crimes. I think some gun charges and stuff like that. She's now living in Northern California. She's given an interview to Dr. Phil. I didn't catch that interview. I don't know if you watched that interview, Tricia, but I think that if there were inconsistencies in statements that she gave to law enforcement versus what she told Dr. Phil, maybe she has said some things to friends or acquaintances and they've gone to law enforcement, and maybe this has spurred a grand jury investigation. This case also hit the headlines about a month ago whenever we learned about that 1990 murder-for-hire plot that Terry was allegedly involved in.
Right.
It renewed interest in this case. It got Terry back out into the news. And, you know, when these cases are spurred back into the headlines, people start talking again. So we don't know exactly why there is a grand jury investigation going on or proceedings going on into the Kyren Horman disappearance. But we do know there is one. It's going to be interesting to see if this spurs any charges or new information regarding Kyren's disappearance. And I just wanted to correct myself. I said that Kyren was 8. He was actually 7 years old when he went missing.
And he's such a cutie pie, like you said in that picture. I think it is very telling that the stepmother, Terry, apparently had an issue with Kane's kids and Kyren being one of them, but yet on this day that she took him to school, she took a picture of him. And to say, you know, here, I dropped him off. Here it is. I'd be interested to know if she had ever taken another picture of him other than that picture. Because if that's it, then that does prove something else there. Now, in the unlikely event, but it could happen, that Kyren was taken by a stranger, by somebody else, everybody's going to feel, me in particular, I'll feel terrible for thinking that Terry did it, but she's behaved in such a way that she doesn't have any sympathy whatsoever. Failing the two lie detector tests, storming out of the other. I have not seen the Dr. Phil show either, but I am assuming, I would hope he would have offered her a lie detector test, and obviously she refused it if he did. But there's so many things that don't add up here.
I think that Terry's a bad person. I don't think that, you know, people that treat children with respect and are good to children and are fit, good parents don't have their custody rights stripped of them and are only allowed to see their children under supervised visitation. So even if Terry is innocent, she's still a pretty bad person. And I was just reading more on D.D. Spicer. She's 43 years old. She was friends of Terry, and we know that law enforcement had been to the neighborhood that D.D. Spicer worked at. She was apparently a gardener, did landscaping, and they were showing residents of this area after Kyren went missing photographs of Terry and D.D. and wanted to know if anyone spotted them there in this area, because apparently Dee Dee's alibi is that she was working in this area. She never left this area, even though people close to her say that they tried to call her and she didn't answer the phone like she normally does. So law enforcement have looked into Dee Dee and Terry and their whereabouts extremely closely right after Kyron Horman went missing.
Right. And I'm sure they have phone records. If Terry did try and call Dee Dee, then it's right there. It'll show right up. Again, everybody, this is 2010. We weren't that savvy on cell phones yet. And her last name is Spicer. I wonder if she's related to the press secretary. Wouldn't that be interesting if they were brother and sister or something? We should look into that. That could be a very interesting twist. Very interesting twist. So right now we know that there is a grand jury meeting. Grand juries are usually very secretive, and in Oregon that is the case here. This was brought out by a media outlet. And you have to wonder what else is going on. If you had to absolutely tell us what you thought was going on in that grand jury room, what would you think they were doing?
I would suspect that Terry Horman has said something suspicious to someone and that the DA, district attorney, has decided to convene a grand jury and that these people are testifying about what Terry maybe had said, because she did do that interview with Dr. Phil. She'd been arrested for some petty crimes in Northern California, where she now resides, and that new information regarding the murder for hire plot in 1990 had stirred up interest in this. And I think that she might have talked to someone recently, or I think that a former friend of hers that might have been loyal to her in 2010 did not want to believe that Terry Horman could have murdered or done something horrible to this 7-year-old Kyron, that maybe in recent developments have changed their mind. Maybe there was something suspicious that Terry had said or done and they didn't tell law enforcement about it, but now after all these years they're willing to talk because time has passed. And now they're thinking, wow, this is suspicious now that I'm looking back at it in hindsight.
Exactly. And you always see things clear when you're out of fog of the situation. Whatever the drama is happening, it's kind of hard to see what is reality. And once it all clears, you can go, okay, that was wrong, and I'm going to report it. Now I feel differently. Now I see things differently. So we can only hope that there is some sort of indictment that comes down. I have no idea when this grand jury will finish. I believe it has been ongoing, if I read correctly. But I do have a question from one of our listeners. You said earlier, Levi, that there was a restraining order against Terry, against her seeing her children. Did that include her teenage son, or was it just the younger child?
I think it was the younger ones. It was the younger ones that she shared with Kane.
Okay. Yeah, because I would think her teenage
son... And that restraining order also applied to Kane Horman as well.
Ah, okay, that's interesting. And I guess Dee Dee had a male friend who defended her. He even came and posted on Web Sleuth, if I remember correctly. Do you remember that person?
I think that there was, I don't know if we're talking about the same person, but there was someone that was in a relationship with Dee Dee Spicer who said that Dee Dee Spicer had changed recently, that Dee Dee used to be very much into health and fitness, that she would prepare extremely healthy meals ahead of time, put them in Tupperware containers, that she worked out a lot, but that in recent times she lost her job. She was on unemployment, she stopped working out, she stopped eating healthy, and she became friends with Terry Horman, who also, FYI, was in competitive bodybuilding. If you Google Terry Horman, you will see the images of her. She looked like a man, let's just be blunt. And she doesn't look that way anymore, but apparently they became friends, and this man that was in a relationship with Dee Dee said that she had changed recently.
And kind of sounds like kind of a downward spiral. Yes, that is the gentleman. He did come on Web Sleuth and discuss a little bit with us. I feel sorry for Dee. Maybe she thought her friend, again, this is just a theory. I have nothing to base it on other than my own brain. Maybe she thought she was doing her good friend a favor, and she realized that Terry, in the end, maybe isn't that good of a friend. Let's hope that is the case. Now, do you think maybe he talked? I mean, he sounds like somebody that can, isn't afraid to bring up the subject and talk about it. That could be. He could be the one, maybe, that went to police.
Yes.
What do you think?
I mean, your guess is as good as mine. I definitely think that former associates of Dee Dee and Terry could have probably went to the police with some suspicious behavior. And I was also reading that Dee Dee had been telling people that she was granted immunity, which is a pretty big deal if that's true. I don't know
it's
if that
true.
Has been confirmed yet. But if she was granted immunity, that means that she was involved in some sort of crime. I mean, what else? Why else would you need immunity? Immunity is to make you immune from prosecution. So the only reason that anyone would be granted immunity is if they were involved and complicit in some sort of crime. And
exactly.
Maybe she told law enforcement, maybe she flipped on Terry and was granted immunity, and that's still not enough, but she was granted immunity for any future prosecutions down the road. That could be a possibility. They just needed more than Dee Dee's word in order to convict Terry.
That absolutely could very possibly be the case, Levi. We're just going to have to wait and see, and that's one thing that we do a lot around here is we have to wait for the justice wheels to turn, even though they turn slowly. We want them to turn correctly and get the right person. But Levi, your knowledge of this case is phenomenal, as your knowledge in all of our cases. You're the go-to person. Tell us what's going on with you now. You have your website, and what else is going on?
So you can go to my website at levipagetv.com, and I'm also on Facebook, facebook.com/levipagetv, and Twitter, twitter.com/levi_page, and I am doing podcasts, and I'm doing a podcast on the Haley Cummings case, an ongoing podcast on that case, and I'm going to do more cases as well, so just stay tuned to my social media, and as soon as I'm done with those episodes, I upload it there, and you'll be able to listen. And I'd love to have you, I love having you on as well, Tricia, to talk about various cases of interest that have fascinated people.
Just let me know, Levi, and I'll be right there. And I would encourage everybody to listen to the Haley Cummings podcast that Levi has been doing there. How many have you done so far?
There are 6 episodes up. And we're going from the very beginning and telling the story from the very beginning and taking a new look at this case. And you can go to my social media websites and you'll see there. But you can also go to, if you have iTunes, you can type in the Haley Cummings Mystery into the podcast section on iTunes and you can find it there. And you can just type it into Google, the Haley Cummings Mystery, and that's my podcast. We go back to the 911 call on my first episode. Cheryl McCollum is on with me and we analyze it and we pick Misty's story apart and we analyze the behavior of everyone involved, and there are 6 episodes up and there will be a new one that will be released this Friday.
And I'll tell you, everybody, Levi Page, you think he knows Kyron's case inside and out. Wait until you hear the Haley Cummings case. And that case has so many bizarre, weird twists and turns that people have forgotten about. You've got to listen to this show. It'll infuriate you because we know something happened to Haley, and it was something that was done by either Misty, her now stepmother, or her husband, or both. We just don't know exactly what happened. That's the mystery here. But it's no mystery that, in my book anyway, these two are guilty just of what exactly.
Well, Tricia,
I am not sure.
You know, we just mentioned, Dee Dee Spicer being granted possibly being granted immunity in the Kyron Horman case. We do know that, as everybody knows, that during the Haley Cummings case, almost a year after she vanished, that Haley's father, Ronald Misty, the babysitter, the last person to see her alive, the person that police say is the key to finding out what happened to this missing 5-year-old that vanished in Satsuma in 2009. We do know that they were arrested on drugs. They were all facing over 15 years in prison. We do know that they all pled guilty or no contest. Misty was sentenced to 15 years in prison. Her brother, Tommy Crossland, was sentenced to 15 years. Misty was sentenced to 25, excuse me. Tommy, her brother, Tommy Crossland, sentenced to 15, and Ronald, Haley's father, was also sentenced to 15 years in prison. Many people thought, okay, that we have these stiff prison sentences on all of these players. They are going to tell police what they know and in order to get out of jail, in order to stop their prison sentence, in order to make a deal with law enforcement and the state attorney's office. That didn't happen. But what we do know is Ronald Cummings pled guilty, and we do know that he made a deal. He did make a deal with the state attorney, and he was granted immunity, and he was given a proffer agreement. And a lot of his defenders were saying, oh, it was not about Haley's case, it was about the drugs. Well, here's the thing. That drug trafficking sting that they were all arrested in was caught on video. They did not need to grant anybody immunity in that case because they had all the evidence they needed to get a conviction. It was all caught on video, the entire drug sting was. So it had to be about Haley's disappearance, which means that Ronald was not as innocent as he let everyone believe he was in the beginning, because in the beginning he had a lot of people snowed and with his crying jags on television, presenting himself as a father that had no involvement, was frantic and really wanted to find out what happened to his daughter, when in reality he was abusive. There were photographs with Haley covered in bruises. People said that he abused Haley. We know that he has a rap sheet a mile long. And we know that he had snuck out of work in the past. We do know that he'd left his children at home alone in the past, and that he had even taken his children to work with him and left him in the vehicle. So this is a guy with a history of questionable behavior who now we know 100% knows more than what he told. And he had agreed to testify against anyone in future prosecutions related to Haley, his daughter's case, and we don't know what he said because that agreement is sealed, and they can only seal information in Florida that is involved in a open case. In a closed case, everything is made public because of the sunshine laws.
And love those laws.
Yes. And the drug case is closed. Everybody has been convicted. It's not an open case. So that proffer agreement, the immunity deal, all of that is sealed, which means it has to be about Haley's case. 100%. It's about Haley's case.
Exactly. And I want to point – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They would just – you know, I would love to see what that deal is.
Yeah, no kidding. That would be very interesting to see.
And my own
one
theory
gonna...
about this – go ahead. I don't want to talk so much.
No, but I don't forget that. I want to go to that, okay? I just wanted to say really quickly, Ron was granted custody of his children. That tells you something right there about parenting down in that I mean, that was just a bad situation if that guy can get custody. Bessie, our incredible administrator and producer here, wanted to pop in here and say something. Go ahead, Bessie.
Well, hey, Levi, it's Bessie.
Hi, Bessie.
Well, something I just wanted to just kind of remind people, and the one moment that really clinched it for me, and you'll remember this. Do you remember Ron on his knees with all the cameras? You know, I don't know how many cameras pointed at him, and on his knees crying about, oh, please, my missing daughter. If you remember anything about my missing daughter, you know, please call. Please let us know. And then his phone rang. And his phone was, like, hooked to his belt. or his waistband, and he didn't even flinch.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, and one of the cameras even honed in on the phone.
I remember that.
And that was the clincher for me. It's like, if you're waiting for a call about your missing child and your phone doesn't ring, I mean, your phone rings and you don't even flinch. You don't, you know, anybody, any honest person would be going, oh, you know, and they grab the
call,
the
I
got to
take this. Right. See if this is
remember
my daughter's case.
There was a Scott Peterson in the Scott Peterson case. Scott Peterson
thing.
Convicted of killing Lacey. Her body had not been found yet. Scott was under intense suspicion, and he granted an interview to a local television station in San Francisco. That's the area where Lacey vanished. And the phone rang, and he never answered it. Or I think maybe he turned it off. So that evidence has been used against people in the past. That's an excellent point.
Yeah, it was the clincher for me. It was like I would have jumped 10 feet in the air if that phone had rung at that time.
Oh,
so,
and he would also go on television shows like Nancy Grace and cry and sob, and then as soon as the show was over, he would go out with his friends mudbogging. I don't know if that's an activity that one participates in right after their daughter goes missing, but they did.
I remember that all very well. You might remember, Levi, that I was like very, very kind of involved in Haley's case. It's one of even more than I'm sorry, Haley. It's even more than Kaylee Anthony's case. I was.
Mm-hmm.
More involved in Haley's case. It was just unbelievable.
Personally,
I don't think that he was directly responsible for her death, but I think that he absolutely knew more than he said.
Well, I think that he has had to know something, because remember he and Misty had exchanged a lot of telephone calls with each other the night that Haley vanished into the early morning.
Right.
What were those about? I think that
what was it about? Yeah.
Could be something incriminating him and having knowledge of what happened. I also think that, remember, Tommy Crossland said that he was called by Ronald Cummings to go to the home and check on Misty
because
Ronald said Misty was not answering the telephone. So he sent Misty's brother Tommy there. So what was going on? Something was going on that night between the three of them.
Four of them, because you got to include Teresa, the mom. I remember.
The mom,
I remember
Ron,
calculating. Ron's mom, Teresa Nevis. I remember calculating how many minutes it would take to travel, you know, at X amount. It was like one of those logic puzzles. You know, if a train leaves the station at such and such,
how long would it take him to get there?
To get there. And she was there within 5 minutes or something, you know.
And she lived like 12 miles away, 10
like
to 12 12
miles
away.
It was the middle of the night when you probably would have been half asleep or at least in your night clothes. But she got up. She had the presence of mind to grab her sheriff's department jacket and jump in the car
and
be there
with him. And the huge picture of Haley.
And grab the picture of Haley and her sheriff's department jacket. And be there within, you know, less than 10 minutes. I don't remember the exact amount, but I mean, and I remember us all trying to calculate, you know, how long would it take you at X amount of speed, you know, fastest she possibly could have driven through those roads. It wasn't like she was on the interstate. It was country roads, if I remember. And So she definitely knew something ahead of time.
No question.
And remember, what was so odd about Teresa Neves, everything you pointed out is correct. But remember, she defended Misty. She was one of Misty's biggest defenders when Haley first went missing. And then as soon as the drug bust happened, she started calling Misty a witch and talked about how much she disliked her and how Misty knew what happened to Haley. Why the switch? I mean, and Teresa knew that Misty was not capable of taking care of Haley that night, and yet she still defended Misty, because remember, Misty was with the Weeknd before Haley vanished. She was with White Boy Greg Page. That's his nickname, White Boy
Greg.
They
had all been partying, right?
Yes, they'd
been
doing drugs and drinking.
And allegedly, Teresa was supposed to, originally, wasn't she supposed to babysit? And she begged
Misty
to babysit.
Even said she would pay her money.
Yeah.
Right.
Misty was like, Misty was not in any shape to do it. And Teresa said, no, I'll pay you, please do it. So whatever, you know, Teresa had going on that night, she did not want to babysit the kids. But then when the drug bust happened, and then afterwards, she gave her the heirloom wedding ring and promoted the wedding.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Oh, geez.
And Ronald, the church that the family belonged to did not even want the wedding in their church. That's how inappropriate they thought it. And they got married, Misty and Ronald got married weeks after Haley went missing. And that would be like the last thing that people would be doing when their daughter is missing, is planning a wedding.
Exactly.
And they were smiling. Right. You saw the pictures.
They were
smiling and feeding each other.
Teresa gave the ring. Mm-hmm. And then all of
they
a sudden
to
she
York
was
New York City.
Yep.
To be on the Today Show, and
they were
all happy.
Do you remember the photographs that were released of the trip to New York City, and they were taking selfies with each other, smiling and sticking their tongue out? I mean, it was quite a case.
Yeah,
it
was like Wheel of Fortune. They got a big trip to the Big Apple.
Exactly. I do have one question, Levi, and Bessie, maybe you can answer this too. The night that Haley Cummings disappeared, Ron's at work, Misty is supposed to be watching. How many times did he call home? Wasn't it just a huge amount?
I don't remember the exact number.
90 times, or there was 90 phone calls or something. So,
I don't think it was 90, and I don't know for sure that they did report the exact number, but it was quite a few times.
It was a lot.
There were,
I think it was 90, including calls and text messages.
Was
that's
it? Okay.
It. That's what it
that
was.
Makes,
yeah.
That makes sense.
That 90 was stuck in my brain. So, well, Levi, thank you so much. Everybody, check out that podcast. Bessie, you and I have to listen to it again, because I'm sure we have forgotten most of the stuff already, because it is just a fascinating look into the lives of people who are controlled by drugs and controlled by a culture that hopefully we will never to deal with. And unfortunately, Haley Cummings is a victim of all of that. And Levi,
and Trisha,
can
I say real quickly?
Yes.
Real quickly, in a future episode of the podcast, I'm going to talk about people that witnessed Ronald Cummings not at work that night, which goes against
his
alibi. Yes, apparently.
Wow.
There are two witnesses that went to law enforcement, and I'm trying to get them on the podcast, that said that they saw Ronald Cummings not at work, that he was drunk. He acted drunk.
Oh.
They don't know if he was, and that he was looking for money, and that he was in a frenzy, and he claimed he was going to rob a drug dealer to get this money. And that stuck in their head, because they said that the next morning they turned on the television and they saw this guy crying about his missing daughter. And I do know that both of them were interviewed, and the interview was taped, and it was conducted by Peggy Cohn, who was once the lead investigator in Haley's disappearance.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. So many. Well, you have got to come on before that
podcast
airs.
And I hope that these people talk. It's hard to get people to talk in that small town. It really is hard.
Oh, I can imagine.
It is. I can only imagine. Well, if anybody can do it, Levi, you can. Just before you, before that show airs, come on and give us a little tease and talk about it so we can get people listening. I'm sure you've already got a huge amount of people already. It's quite a popular podcast, and I would encourage everybody to start with podcast number one because you got to follow along. It is a wild story that is just so tragic for Haley Cummings. Little girl never had a chance, I don't think. Levi Page, we love you. We'll have you on again real soon, okay?
Thanks, Tricia. Thanks, Betsy. Nice talking to you, too.
Thank you,
Take
Levi.
Care now.
Keep it up. Keep up
Bye-bye.
The good work. Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe how much he knows. He knows everything. I swear, I throw these questions at him that just pop in my head, and if anybody threw them at me, I would just start drooling and have a nervous breakdown. I wouldn't know what to say or do. And I throw these questions at him, and he knows everything. He's always been like
I know.
That. I don't think he's always
he
been
is.
That good.
I'm so proud of him that he has, you know, all these years, he has not dropped it, and he has kept on the case, and I love him for that. And, I mean, I could go on talking about Haley's case for hours and hours, and that's why I hate to get on, because there's so much. I mean, I have a folder in my computer with just, I don't know how many entries and maps and all of that.
Oh,
records
I believe it.
And things
you-
I haven't
you
looked at it in
organized.
A while, but I remember it.
You are
just
organized
remember
and
to...
you have so much information. You're just like Levi. I mean, you're just a walking encyclopedia of information in that case. What is there one thing you can pick out about the Haley Cummings case, Bessie, that makes you think, you know what, there's just no way these people are innocent? Is there just this one thing? Was it the Ron crying and the phone ringing? Was that it, or is there something else?
Well, I mean, that is mainly it. You know, that, like I said, that was the clincher. I mean, up until that point, I was giving him the benefit of the doubt, and I was thinking, oh, this poor dad. And I was blaming it all on Misty. But when I saw him that day with, you know, the fake crocodile tears and all the cameras on him, and that one camera kind of homed in on his phone as it was ringing, and he didn't even flinch. And I said, he is lying through his teeth. And there are a lot of other things, but that I guess that's the main one that will always stick in my head. Because I know if my son were missing and my phone rang, I mean, even if I thought it was just, I don't know, somebody calling me by mistake or whatever. I mean, if I heard a phone ring, my hand would have been on that phone, you know, faster than a speeding bullet.
Exactly. Okay, let's change topic here for a bit. We're going to talk about PolitiVent. It is very controversial on Web Sleuth. We have a new political forum, and I want to bring up something that somebody brought up on the PolitiVent forum. Several years ago, we had something called the Political Pavilion, and what happened was due to a very messy lawsuit, there were several areas that were just left unattended, and the Political Pavilion was one of them. And it ended up being incredibly right-wing and not allowing any left-wing or any Democratic opinions. And it doesn't matter what I think. I want to hear both sides. And so I was embarrassed and mortified when I found out, and I closed down. I apologized. And I swore I'd never open another political forum again. But, Bessie, there's just too much going on. We have to talk about it. Now, here's the thing, and I want you to think about this, Bessie. We have had a lot of people. I'm going to say it's 50-50. 50% say, this is great. I love it. Thank you for letting us do this. The other 50% is, this is beneath us. Why are you doing this? And the reason why it's different is PolitiVent is not really moderated. You know, Web Sleuth is tightly moderated. Everywhere else, we are on you. If you start to have a fit, we're on you. You just kick your little butt right off. But in PolitiVent, our only rule is you can't get personal, can't call each other names, can't do anything mean to each other. That's basically it. And
that
it
is basically
some people out.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bessie, what are you going to say?
Well, the thing is, there's a, I mean, we say name calling, but so that means if I say, oh, you're a moron, or, you know, what an idiotic idea. But there are people that are being offended because they're expressing their views and their views are being opposed. Well, that's the nature of the forum. And when I wrote those ground rules, which, you know, you and I discussed and agreed on and you approved, one of the first things says post at your own risk.
Yeah.
So it's like saying if it's too hot in the kitchen, you know, how does that go? If it's too hot in the kitchen, get out of the kitchen.
Get out of the kitchen, exactly.
Get out of the kitchen. And we want it to be free. We want people to be free as long as they don't get ridiculous. And I do go through there, and I have you know, unapproved a few posts that nobody alerted on, but I mean, if I see something that's just kind of ridiculous, I'll go ahead and unapprove it. But I think right now, because of the political atmosphere, it is important for, I mean, the head of the CIA was fired. I mean, that's a big deal.
Big thing.
And
the head of the FBI. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, it's just nuts. It's nuts. Needs to be discussed.
So I think people have a right to discuss it. Now, if you don't like it, just don't go in there. That's all. It doesn't take up the whole forum. It's one small forum within the larger forum. And if it's not for you, stay out of it.
Stay out, but it's growing in popularity. This is why
it is.
This is why I want to, you know, remind everybody of the rules here. And you can't get your feelings hurt. We can't protect you.
No.
You have to buck up and take it. If someone comes on and says, you know, that idea is just ridiculous and, you know, how could you think like that? I mean, they get pretty rough in there. And like you said, Bessie, I appreciate what you do. You go in there and you do take out, there's some really harsh stuff in there that isn't actually name-calling or personal, but it's just too harsh to be there.
Right.
And we don't want it, you know, we don't want it to be a lunatic bin, for goodness sake.
No.
We're hoping that people can discuss calmly, but that's not the case. One of our very long-time members, and his name is Ranch, or her name, Ranch, and this person said something to the effect of, you know, wow, I've known these people all these years, and they've been just so nice and calm, and they come into the flood event and lose their mind. That isn't what they said, but something along those lines, and that's true. Politics turns people inside out, and they become something that you don't normally see. So if you're going to go to Polit Event on Web Sleuth, go for it. Go tell us your thoughts. We want to know everything, but just, you know, just try and tone it down a bit so we can have a discussion. And we can't.
Yeah.
We could never have enough moderators on that forum to keep it like the rest of the website. There's no way. It would be impossible. So this political forum is really both sides. It's not like the old one. Again, deepest apologies if any of you remember that old forum. I take responsibility for not checking on it sooner. But this time it's a whole different animal, and everybody's opinions are welcome as long as you stay within the rules. Anything to add, Bessie?
Well, I mean, two of my requests are try to stick to the issues. You know, I think we have one that says something about, you know, dump on Trump or whatever. But let's try to stick to the issues that are happening every single day. If you check, you know, what happened in Congress today, or an executive order, let's try to stick to the events rather than the personalities.
Advice.
And that's why I've asked people also to wherever possible, to try to put a date, because we're not just talking about this month or next month. I mean, this could go on for 8 years. And there's a matter of cause and effect. So if you want to actually study history, You want to look at cause and event. So what came first, and then what was the reaction to that? And if you go down to the bottom of any thread page, you can sort by thread title. And that would put, if we put the dates first, that would put everything in chronological order. So we have a chronology. So we can say, well, this happened, and then the next day, you know, this happened. And it gives it, it adds to the context of what is happening today.
It does.
So
it
that's
it, like
why
you said,
I'm kind of a, yeah. And it, right, it makes it easier to search, and we can look at it. I mean, this could go on for 8 years. And we can go back and put it in that order and say, well, this happened first, and then the reaction to that was this. You know, and if I were an historian writing a book, that's how I would write it.
Correct.
What happened first? What caused this to happen? Like I said, cause and effect. So sometimes I go in and I'll, you know, people forget, but I'll look. If you don't know the exact date of the event, at least the date it was reported. And I mean, we had something in there from 2010, you know, that had to do with Hillary Clinton, you know, so I added that so that it doesn't look like that happened today.
Exactly.
You know, and we can go back years later and go, this happened and then that happened, and that was the cause, that was the reaction. And it gives, like I said, it adds to the context.
Exactly. And we do have very, very good points. I would encourage everybody to date, just like Bessie told you. Do remember, we don't want you to alert on posts because it would just fill up our alert forum for the moderators. You can send us a private message on WebSleuth, or we have PolitEvent, you can see how it's spelled on the forum, PolitEvent@gmail.com, you can email us, and we will get back to you. Well, Bessie, I think that's it, unless you have anything else, and I don't want to cut you off. Is there anything else you'd like to discuss?
No, I just think that's it, and I hope that people will understand the reason behind PolitEvent and respect it, and like I said, if it gets too hot, get out of the kitchen.
Get out of there, exactly. I will be on the road, so we will have no show next week, but we will have one the week after that. And I'll be going to CrimeCon. You've got to check this out, crimecon.com. Check it out. It is going to be the first one, and this year it's going to be big, and it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. But we'll talk more about that later. Bessie, thank you so much for doing all the heavy lifting. I really appreciate it. A big thanks to Levi Page. He always makes the show very, very fascinating and entertaining. And thank you for listening to WebSleuth Radio. Don't forget to check out WebSleuth.com, and we will see you on our next WebSleuth Radio show. Take care now. Bye-bye.